Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we will once again face the issues. I am delighted that we have the privilege to discuss with and have dialogue with those that are the candidates for our public office. One of those candidates with us today will be our special guest, will be Matt Shirk, that is the public defender here in Duval County for the 4th Judicial Circuit, which includes Duval, Nassau, and Clay counties. We'll be talking with him in just a moment about some of the things that you're faced with and we're faced with in our county and why we need to have a good person in that position that continues to lead us as he has in the past 8 years. May I remind us that this is a listener participation program. You can call us at 401-1413. If you're out of the area, it's 904-401-1413. Be delighted to join in a discussion. I have you ask questions and join in with the discussion about this position and about the races or any one of the races that we have. We're in the last few days of our voting for the candidates of office that we have the privilege of placing in there. God's given us the responsibility of being salt and light. As salt and light, we have the responsibility of being in society. Though the scripture says we're in the world but not of the world, yet as aliens passing through this old world, as Christians, we need to make an indelible impact on the society in which we live. When we talk about facing the issues and searching for answers, all of us, regardless of our walk in life, our political strata, our ethnic background, socioeconomic background, we all have issues that we're faced with. And I've said time and time again that regardless of that issue, whether it is something that you'd call political, something that is social, something that is religious or biblical, spiritual in nature, we have a source book that we can go to, and it's called the Bible, the Word of God. In fact, the Lord Jesus himself in John 17:17 said, "Thy word is truth." Now, we don't go to the scripture to try to find truth. It is truth. Whatever we're looking for, whatever question we may have, or the problem or difficulties we're faced with, the Word of God has the answer for us. And in saying that, I want us to understand that God has a perfect plan for our making a choice and a decision on who we need to vote for and who we need to elect in this and any election cycle. In fact, in Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 and following, God is speaking to Moses. His father-in-law is telling him he's not doing right trying to carry the load himself, that he needs to find men that are qualified. And let me just briefly do this before we introduce Matt and ask him to talk with us about the race for the public defender's office. The 21st verse of Exodus 18, the scripture says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, having hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, and rulers over fifties and over tens." What is this saying, and how does it have corollary to what we're doing today? You've heard me say before, and I'll say again, we need to vet our candidates and make sure that they follow the guide that God's given us. I call it God's election guide. And it says there that we need to have able men. That means men that are capable, men that have competence in the area that they're running for office to do. And secondly, it says that we need to have those that fear God, such as fear God. That means to reverence God. That means to respect God. That means to place God first and foremost and final in the choices and decisions of what we do in life. And secondly, the scripture says not just those that are able men, capable men, such as fear God, but men of truth, men that will tell the truth. There are a lot of folks that get a little uptight in relationship to someone speaking the truth. We need to tell the truth and not try to tiptoe around the daisies to appease somebody. I'd rather have a person disagree with me openly and honestly and tell me the truth where they are than to lie to me and try to deceive me in any fashion about it. I believe that when we elect and when we vote for people for office, that person that's for office that we're voting for may not agree with us 100% all the time, but if he stands and tells the truth about the issues, that's the kind of person that God says we need to have in office. And one that hates covetousness, that means that he's not running for office just for a good paycheck and for a good retirement plan. And ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks that will do that, but the candidate that we have in our studio today is Matt Shirk. Matt, I want you to tell us something about the public defender's office. What is it about? Why do we have a public defender's office?
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I'm so honored to be here with you today to talk about the public defender's office. You know, the public defender's office was founded in 1963 after the landmark Supreme Court case of Gideon versus Wainwright. They confirmed what our Constitution says, and that is that if you are accused of a crime by the government, you have the right to have an attorney represent you. Mm-hmm. All that the Supreme Court did was say, if you're poor and you can't afford one, then you'll get one up front.
You'll get one anyway. Yes.
I believe that our Bill of, I think you as well, and anyone who's a good study of the Constitution knows about why our founding fathers wrote the Bill of Rights into the Constitution.
Absolutely.
That these are rights that not given to us by men, but by God, and that no government or man had a right to infringe upon them.
Yes.
One of those rights is the right to have a lawyer or an advocate represent you in a proceeding, and that's what the Public Defender's Office does.
And would you say that in the 4th Judicial District that you are cover as a public defender, how many, and I think we had a little chat about this before we went on there, how many cases do you have a year?
We handled about 30,000 cases last year.
That's a bundle of cases.
It's a bundle of cases. And that covers all of Duval, all of Clay, and all of Nassau counties. Mm-hmm. We have 156 full-time staff members, 84 of which are lawyers representing people in those 30,000 cases.
It's a room full of lawyers.
It is.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we're listening to Matt Shirk, our public defender for the 4th Judicial Circuit, which covers Nassau, Clay, and Duval County. If you have questions or comments you'd like to ask him, I pray that you would call in and do so because our early voting ends on the 26th, and then we have our regular vote on the 30th, which is next Tuesday. And I have advocated, and I continue to do so, that we as Christians, as salt and light in the Scripture, according to the Scripture, we need to participate in the process, and we need to put men that are capable men, men that are able, men that love the Lord. Matt, most of the folks out there perhaps have not met you, not talked with you. I've had the privilege of knowing you for several years, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm delighted for your relationship to the Lord and you having trusted him as Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, do you find that it gives you strength and wisdom to carry out your work each day in working with people and trying to get the defense for people that they rightly deserve and need?
I do. When I came to know Jesus Christ, it changed everything about me, including how I do go about, and it should,
Amen.
Our daily work, interaction with people, setting policy in the office, representing people and loving people.
That's it. And, makes a vast difference.
It does.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can call us at 401-1413, 401-1413. Join in the dialogue. Ask the question. Join in the discussion. We may have a disagreement, but we're not going to be disagreeable in disagreeing if you happen to disagree. I pray that you would call in and have your questions answered. What would you want to accomplish in real? By the way, Matt's been our public defender now for just about 8 years and running for re-election. And I can say because of knowing him, I can say because of knowing his track record and what he's done and some of the things that perhaps you need to know about and he'll talk about in just a moment. But it's my delight to introduce him to you if you've not met him or not talked with him or know nothing about him. It is my prayer that you will call in, talk with him, and ask the questions. What would you like to accomplish if reelected, Matt?
I have, since 2009 when I took office, we focused on smart justice programs. Smart justice is a concept that people are talking about these days, and it's it holds people accountable for their actions. It does it at a fraction of the cost of incarceration. And it fixes the problem that brought the person into the criminal justice system.
Tell us a little more about that. It's intriguing to me, and I'm delighted to hear the possibility of that.
Yeah, I'll give you one example, and we talked a little about this before we came on, is Veterans Court. It's a smart justice program, and the reason it's smart justice is this. If you send an offender to prison, you're going to pay between $20,000 and $30,000 a year to incarcerate that person.
At least.
Depending on what kind of problems they may have that cost taxpayers more. Recidivism rates for incarceration in Florida overall, 69%. 69% of people who are incarcerated in Florida will reoffend and go back to jail within 3 years of that release. Smart justice programs like our Veterans Court, which I'd like to talk more about, has a 4% recidivism rate. 4%.
That's not bad.
And there's only been three people in our Veterans Court here in Jacksonville, Duval, Clay, and Nassau. Actually, all three of our courts have been rearrested. 4%. And it only costs about $3,500 a year to send somebody through a program
versus
like that.
$20,000 to $25,000 a year.
It's vast. And it actually works.
It works.
It's cost effective.
Tell us a little bit more about the Veterans Court in just a moment. Jeff, okay. I believe you're on the line with a question.
But I have two questions. Number one, do you feel, Matt, that your office is understaffed, and what can you do about that, if anything? And should I wait for the second question or pose it now?
I would say pose both of them now and let Matt go ahead and follow up with both
of them. All right, well, the second one is directed at you, Dr. Youngblood. The scriptures that you quoted, don't they have in context to do with church government and not secular government, all those scriptures? And I'll listen now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Matt. Thank you for the question. Do I think that our office is understaffed? We were talking before we went on the air. When I took office in 2009, the year before, the office handled about 45,000 cases, only had about an average of 64 lawyers. We've now increased the number of lawyers to 84, and the workload's down to 30,000 cases last year. Would I like to have more staff to help? I think
that's always
we would like that. But we're doing an effective job. Over 60% of our clients that go to trial have a favorable verdict. We're improving the office by creating programs like Veterans Court. I think the taxpayers are getting a good investment in what we're doing now.
Very good.
In the criminal justice system. So I don't think the taxpayers need to pay for additional staff.
I like that. Very good. Keeping the tax base down.
Yes, sir.
Let me answer that other question for our caller. He had asked the question in relationship to the text that I use and several times I speak on, and he said something about with the question about whether that's dealing with secular government and not church. Let me simply say this. God has created and ordained three institutions. That's the home, the church, and government. If we look at with a biblical worldview, there's no such thing as a text dealing with the church and a text dealing with government and a text dealing with secular and a text dealing with religious. It's the biblical worldview. Contrary to what many think, there's a philosophy that church ought not to be involved in the political arena. That's the reason we have the problems on a national level today, is because for 50 plus years, most pastors have said to stay out of politics, stay out of that. It's wicked, evil, it's dirty. And as a result of that, that's what we have leading our nation. God calls us to be salt and light. Salt and light simply means that even in the secular society, as we want to bifurcate it and call it, there's no such thing as a secular society and a religious society. We happen to be living in the world. Some happen to be lost, some happen to be saved. But God's principles and the text of the scripture are applicable, whether it's directly stated for the church or whether it is for Christians in the world. So I hope that is your an answer for you in your call, and thank you so much for calling. Tell us, Matt, more about the Veterans Court that you're talking about.
When I first came into office, there were no programs for veterans in the criminal justice system, and we had began to notice that there were increasing veterans being arrested in Jacksonville. We began to track that. For the last 5 years, we've tracked the number of veterans arrested, and it's about 150 veterans a month arrested in Jacksonville alone.
That's a heavy number.
It's a very heavy number. And when you look into those numbers and find out what kind of veterans are being arrested, half are combat vets, all suffering from service-connected injuries like PTSD and traumatic brain injuries. Only 23% of the vets are that are being arrested are actually receiving VA benefits, the benefits that were promised them. Mm-hmm. And so we began an effort, a successful effort, to start a veterans treatment court here, and that diverts veterans in the criminal justice system to a special court system that identifies the service-connected injury, helps the VAs there to help turn on the benefits, to help the veteran. There's a veteran mentor paired with the veteran in the criminal justice system.
Boy, I'm thankful for
and
that.
It's very successful. It's very, very, I can't think of a better population in our community that we can service in the criminal justice system than veterans.
I think we could call that literally a real good God plan.
I think so.
I am delighted to hear that.
Yeah, and it started in Jacksonville, and we had all kinds of opposition in the criminal justice system, believe it or not, to starting this program.
You wouldn't think that.
You wouldn't think so, but we did. And it was created anyway, despite the opposition. But we do things different here than any other veterans court in the whole country. There's over 200 veterans courts. All the other veterans courts, except ours, is the lead agency is the state attorney's office. In Jacksonville, our veterans court, the lead agency, is the public defender's office. We go assess the clients, find the clients, advocate for the clients to get them into the program.
I was about to say that there's a little better advocacy, I believe,
yeah,
in doing
it. It really is. And that's why this court has become a mentor court for all the other courts in the country. They come and to learn the best practice here.
Set
at
up
our
the template
court.
So the others will follow it. That's good.
Yeah, so we're very proud of it. We've worked with our local legislature delegation. Senator Rob Bradley in Clay County and Senator Aaron Bean and Nassau County have helped us get
good
funding.
Guys.
Good guys. And they've helped us get funding to expand the number of folks we have in our office helping veterans. We have a whole team of veterans helping veterans in the criminal justice system.
That's what it should be. That's good. I'm delighted to hear that. Let me ask you a question. This is not trying to put you on the spot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know personally the other candidates that's running as much as well as I know you, and you don't have to necessarily call them out by name, but why do you think you'd be the better candidate? Why would you think our listeners need to vote for Matt Sherr?
Yeah, you know, I have a proven track record of trying to improve and transform our criminal justice system with the creation of Veterans Court, with a program that we started that targets young youth of our community, 9 to 15-year-old boys, called Vision for Excellence, which would be a whole nother show to talk about. It's such an incredible program that we've got running here. And the fact that we've been very fiscally conservative with your tax dollars. We've returned over $2 million in tax dollars, unused tax dollars. We've changed the culture of our government agency. We don't just spend money when it gets to the end of the fiscal year. You know, Ronald Reagan used to always say, government always finds a way to spend the money it gets, and it's true in every government agency across this country, but not your public defender's office. When it gets to the end of the fiscal year, and there's extra money, there's money that hasn't been spent, we don't just find a way to spend it. We let it revert back to the state budget.
Ladies and gentlemen, did you just hear what Matt said? That's almost unheard of in any governmental agency, where if there's funds that are remaining at the end of the fiscal year, they're turned back over. I don't know of any better management style or any more conservative approach to the taxpayers' dollars than doing that very thing.
Well, let me tell you why I'm the better candidate, because my opponent said publicly just a few weeks ago that he didn't know how I slept at night returning state money back to the state budget, and that it would not happen if he were a public defender.
Oh, well, that settles it for me, right? Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to participate in this dialogue and discussion with Matt Sherr, which is our public defender for Duval, Clay, and Nassau counties, call us at 401-1413. Ask your question. I'd love to have everybody that's listening today have a satisfied mind and heart as to what God would have you to do in casting your ballot on the 30th of August. That's next Tuesday. If you've not already voted in early voting, then the last chance you have is next Tuesday, August the 30th. But I would encourage you to call, ask your questions to Matt so that you'd be satisfied with what you need to do and how God would have you to vote. Tell me some of the things you would like to accomplish if reelected that's not been done in the 8 years that you've been in.
Yeah, there are a number of other smart justice programs I think that could benefit our community that we've began advocating for and we would like to see happen. One of them is called a DUI court. You know, there are a lot of people who are arrested for DUI across the country.
Unfortunately, yeah.
And recidivism rates on, if you get a DUI the first time, you're 77% more likely to get a second one.
That's a pretty high number.
Mm-hmm. And the special court system has been set up in some other areas of the country, reduces that from 77% to 17%.
Wonderful.
And it would be a wonderful opportunity for our community if we had one. It costs nothing to the taxpayers. Companies like Budweiser have funds. I say Budweiser because they have a plant here in Jacksonville.
Right.
Have funds available that they donate to these kinds of programs. There are a number of opportunities to get grant money for these kinds of programs. I'd like to work on establishing a DUI court in Jacksonville.
So you're talking about a DUI court and a veterans court and juvenile, I believe you mentioned a moment ago. Tell me a little more about the juvenile division.
Vision for Excellence is a program that we started in 2010. One of the things we've noticed is that there in 2009 is a lot of diversion programs for our young men were starting to disappear. And there's a lot of great programs across Jacksonville, no doubt about it. But we wanted to start something more unique. You know, every young man is looking to find masculinity.
Right.
And many of the young men in the criminal justice system don't have men in their life. They don't have a father,
a mentor.
And so they look to the street corner to find out what real masculinity is. And that's obviously not real masculinity. And that's what they emulate. So our program is designed to show these young men, 9 to 15-year-old young men from very difficult areas of Jacksonville, what real masculinity is, introduce them to good role models, enrich them with good character building traits. And it's a very unique program. We've been doing it since 2010. Every year we've grown. We had 100 kids this last. It's a summer program, 6 weeks in the summer. And it we just launched an after-school program just when school started on August 15th. We think it's a very successful program. None of our children that have gone through since 2010, gone through the program, have been arrested. All have matriculated to the next grade. 98% of the kids, based on the survey of their parents, have said that all the kids showed a positive attitude once they've gone through the program.
That is almost what you'd call a biblical principle. The scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not have departed from it. So
yes, sir.
That is trying to reach them prior to getting into trouble.
Yes, sir.
It's a fantastic program.
You know, we are, as a community, I'm a lot of people talking about this day with a new mayor and sheriff. There's a lot of discussion about how we're going to fight our crime in the city. We have to have intervention programs. We have to also have programs in the criminal justice system that try to stop the revolving door. So what we've tried to do over the last 8 years is just be a part of the solution by creating and advocating for programs that do just that.
Rather than just being a place to go to when you're in trouble to try to prevent the trouble.
Absolutely.
That's a wonderful program.
Yeah.
Tell us a little more. I'm intrigued by it with the Veterans Court. we have veterans that are out there in the world. They do not have the proper benefits that we've promised them and committed to them as veterans. That's one of the problems. And as a result of defending our freedom, they have impairments and maladies that they're faced with, and they get caught up in the system. And if it is anything close to what happens within the realm of the VA system in general, they're kind of lost in the shuffle. And so I'm delighted to hear that program. Tell us a little more about that.
Yeah, so, you know, if a veteran is arrested in Jacksonville, in also Clay or Nassau counties, any person that's arrested gets to see our staff, the public defender staff. We staff first appearance court 365 days a year. And we talk to each person who's arrested to ask them basic questions about whether they intend to hire their own lawyer, whether they need a lawyer, and if they need to have one appointed, to go over some information with them about their financial information. And we added to those questions, questions about whether they're a veteran, when they served, and things like that. And it's from that initial assessment, those initial questions, then we have staff, veterans court staff, that are in those courtrooms that assess the veteran, find out if there is a service-connected injury. We're able to work with the VA and get their discharge information. If they've been honorably discharged, then they qualify for the program. And then from there, we just try to build a case. Unfortunately, I think we were talking about this earlier, is that we have opposition. We have a difficult time getting veterans into the program. We've had over 200 participants. It should have been over 400 in the last 4 years, frankly.
Do you find any resistance within what I would call the political system, the structure, any resistance to that?
We do have resistance, mostly from prosecutors who have the prosecutorial mindset that people need to go to incarceration as opposed to one of these programs. In fact, it's been termed by some prosecutors as a get out of jail free card, which is frankly offensive because these men and women have served our country honorably in battle, defending the very freedoms that we have in the courtroom that we're arguing over. Thankfully, we worked with our legislature, again, Rob Bradley, Aaron Bean, and some others, in getting the law changed so that even if prosecutors object, judges can send these veterans into the veterans treatment court over the state's objection, and which is also difficult. Many judges have agreed with us and sent veterans into the program, but there are also 150 vets a month that we've been tracking for almost 5 years, only just over 200 participants in veterans court. I mean, we're grateful that over 200 veterans have gone in and gotten help for the problem. But that's leaving hundreds of other veterans that have honorably served their country that are unable to.
I would love to see that type of program continue to grow and flourish. Is there the resistance based on expending further tax dollars, or is it just the part where you've done the crime, you're going to do the time?
It's a philosophical difference in prosecutorial mindset. We believe that programs like this do much far better benefit to the community. Let me tell you, it's no easy cakewalk. If you ask one of these veterans how difficult it was to get through one of these veterans treatment court, I think they would tell you that they'd rather go to jail than go through what they went through.
But it rehabilitates.
It rehabilitates.
And many of them, if I'm reading into what you're saying, it puts them on the right track to be able to get some benefits that they perhaps are not receiving that they should as veterans anyway.
If nothing else, we've helped them get signed up to get the VA benefits that were promised to them when they were discharged from the military.
Yes. Matt, I think we've got about 2 minutes to go in our time today. I want you to take that 2 minutes, talk to the people, tell them who you are, what you're about, why you need their vote, and asking for their vote and their prayers.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'd be honored to have the vote of your listeners, and I'd humbly ask you for it. For 8 years, we've tirelessly worked to create programs that actually help our community, that transform the criminal justice system, like Veterans Court, like our Vision for Excellence. And we've been fiscally conservative with your tax money, sending over $2 million back to the state budget. I intend to continue to do that if I'm your public defender. I will work to continue to try to transform this community and to and be very diligent about sending money back and not wasting it.
Wonderful. Well, I noticed you used the little term there, if. I prefer the term when.
When.
When I'm reelected next Tuesday, prayerfully.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have today with us Matt Shirk, which is our public defender for the 4th Judicial Circuit for Clay, Duval, and Nassau counties. I am delighted that he is with us. I'm thankful that he is a man that is honoring God and wants to be what God wants him to be in his position of leadership. That's the biblical formula for who we need to elect. So I pray that if you've not already gone to the polls and voted in the early voting, I pray that you will do so. And I would urge you to seriously consider Matt Shirk for the public defender, giving him an opportunity to implement some of these things that he's talking about over the next 4 years, during the period of time that he would be able to implement further the juvenile program, the veterans program, and others. And the thing that I am delighted to hear him say is of the frugal nature of handling we the taxpayers' dollars. I'm thankful for that. Most politicians, most in the political realm, do not do that. I can tell, according to our music, that we're up and away and about out of here for today. Looking forward to having you join us again tomorrow here at the same time, same station, at 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Thank you for listening today and participating, and God bless you until tomorrow.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast? 666. And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.